Welcome all. We have the honor of starting this beautiful presentation of Caroline's with some music. We're Stella Mara Acoustic. And thank you. We've selected some songs that invoke the arc of the presentation from Caroline that she has been intuiting and working with. And the first piece is one of the oldest wedding songs ever recorded, actually the oldest one ever recorded. It's Sephardic. It hails back to the 11th century. And it's a woman's grandmother who's getting married, sharing her herbs, giving her herbs to her to protect her against any negativity that could come from her future husband, including the rue and the thyme. So there's that, and then we'll all sing a song that celebrates the full voice of the woman and all of the grief and the sorrow and the sadness that may have not been able to be expressed at certain times and certain places, but more and more we're finding the woman's voice to be able to roar and to express itself fully. And then the last piece is a blessing. It's a Hungarian ballad, and a very old Hungarian ballad about love. And it's saying, love, love, may you grow on every flower, may you blossom on every tree.
Thank you. God is truly the confluencing of allies, and I'm so delighted to have Sonia Drukalich and Brianna DeMara and Gary Hegedus to collaborate. And the wonderful flowers by Mud Baron again, because we are so great, because we are here. This is the Beauty is Stronger Than Tyranny tour that is launching in all of our hearts. Beauty is stronger and definitely woofier than tyranny. Whoa, so all of this, so we love this. I have, of course, the muti. Muti means power and medicine from the Sangomas of South Africa, and I have some from ancestor Stella Coyote. Coyote hair is part of this, and tobacco from Syria when it was beautiful, and all kinds of wonderful things. And so we say, you know, we are not alone. We are humans who are humbled by the danger and of our predicament, you know, and here to humbly reunite with everything. And the backstage, everything, flora and fauna is like, at last, okay, all right. So we say, oh, spirit of the liberating trickster residing within each one of our hearts, open the path for each of us that we may contribute our gifts to the community in a way that is spicy and liberating for all beings. Wah! Okay, there we go. So we gather as our ancestors have gathered in times of tremendous danger to call in whatever we need. You know, that quality of calling in, and we go, what a daunting time to gather, whoa, because it is dangerous. So it is, we want to dive into all of that in good ways and jaunty ways and dive into the darkness absolutely as well. So I have also another kind of muti from the Sangomas of South Africa. This is called Umpepu, and it opens the channels between the visible and the invisible, between the living and the dead. And it was grown for me by Sangomas, and they said, if you are meeting with good-hearted people who want to do good in the world, you may use this to open up the avenues and the portals whereby everybody can attract the support of everybody in history, animal, plant, human, who's ever been dedicated to what each one of us is dedicated to so that we can have this support. We go, ha. Huh. So democratic animism now. I like, you know, the Visionary Activist Show, which has been going, and why a lot of you are here, really, for 22 years, and why I like to think of it as democracy now on mushrooms. and even Amy Goodman gave me a little sort of canine smile on that. So last year, I'd coined a term which I continue to like a lot, which is entheo-endogenous indigenuity. Let's say it together for fun. Entheo-endogenous indigenuity, right? Because the sacrament entheo, that which opens up our hearts to kinship, whether it be, you know, plant or animal or any of those things, endogenous means, you know, we have receptors, like we have cannabis receptors and all mammals have DMT receptors. But we also have mythological receptors. And as we set forth tonight, as I speak the astro-mytho guiding story, there's little parts of us that go, we know this. And each part of us that we speak to quickens. You know, the model is that this beautiful language of astrology is the most exquisite language of how us humans can rejoin the choreography of creation. So the planets, everything real, everything symbolic, the planets represent qualities of intelligence that reside within us and connect us to the world. And then entheo-endogenous indigenuity, it's within us all. So we will start off with some very serious ancient chants. one is, as we know, precedes ah, right? So it's time to metabolize our conniption fits, right? Everything. So let's outgas together, everybody. All right. That's quite enough. All right. And then, ah. All right. And then let's do it three times together. So what goes along with that is something, you know, again, what is liberating and what is imprisoning in our language and our thoughts? So got to is sort of like outsource Saturn, creates resistance immediately. Get to, opportunity. So join with me, team. Got to, get to, got to, get to, got to, get to. Right, we've got to save the world. No, we get to save the world. There we go. And the third chant that goes with that is from Stormy Daniels' tweet, in which, as we know, Trumpelstiltskin took on, criticized more women, you know, more women than Saudi Arabia last week. And I am a big fan of Stormy Daniels. I went to her strip club act in D.C. It was most nourishing. It was like receiving, you know, darshan from Amaji for people with planets in Scorpio. It was like, oh, it was very soothing. It was like, oh, my brain. So he dissed her a horse face, you know, and so she came back at him with this great tweet, because she is a great metabolizer of poison. I really do admire her. And again, this is part of our dynamic. We are calling in tonight everything that can help each one of us to be agents of cool response in a hot, reactive world, right? So reaction is prison, response is to ally with nature's genius. And she is really good at that, but her tweet ended with, game on, Tiny. Right. So I think we might want to do that too. Let's do that together three times. Game on, Tiny. Game on, Tiny. Game on, Tiny. Excellent. Nothing can stop us now. That's really good. Right. So she is remarkable. She's born on St. Patrick's Day. I like bringing up what we excavate for the hidden thing under the tyrannical thing. And there's a wonderful story, apocryphal story, told about St. Patrick, that he's invited to a druid dinner where he's given a cup of poisoned wine. Wait, I have one. And so what he does is he holds the poisoned cup of wine up to the light. The poison rises to the top. He blows it off like froth on a Guinness. Wah! And he quaffs the drink.
Mm.
And toasts everyone, including those who tried to poison him, causing the elders to go, a real initiate, right? So he didn't drink it and die. He wasn't a martyr. He didn't go, oh, no, I hate it when people give me poisoned wine. No, he metabolized it, and that's part of our dynamic. You know, as we dive into the heart of evil and monstrosity and everything, you know, part of the dynamic is the Dementors of Doom, you know, and the Chaos Magicians, they thrive on conflict and heat and anger. So they do things that, of course, give rise to that, naturally. But then it is our task to metabolize that. Please don't feed the Dementors, right? To metabolize that into desire, anger into desire, the all-inclusive story, going, we have a better story, we're going over here. So it's like things arise and then we cook them. But Stormy Daniels also is a truly fantastic horsewoman. She's a serious steeplechase equestrian. And I love this quote from Augustus Hare, who says, half of the failures in this world come from reining in our horse as he's leaping, right? It's really good, right? So we have a number of magic horses. Everybody here gets a magic horse, and you get a magic horse, and you get a magic horse, and you know, and so we kind of vow, you know, that before, you know, many of us might feel that resonance that opportunities or things came along, and we were like, no, not quite, no, let me just go home, you know, because there are planets in Aquarius overhead right now, and I like to quip, we can be lonely on our own, but it takes a group in which to be alienated, no, and so it's like. Although we're changing that with ally etiquette, this is a good wolf pack, you know. But it's that sense of like, no, I just rather go to the beach. We're making vows, and the big all around us, you know, is ready to receive them this night, you know. And so in our hearts, we go, right, next time we're not going to rein in our horse. And Stormy Daniels has on her Twitter feed just the most beautiful photo I've ever seen of human and animal. She is one with this horse as they're leaping. She's not pulling it in at all. And it's like, whoa. And so to have that image going, all of us on our magic pony, you know, we go, right. Because it is in the fairy tale when the hero or heroine, the fairy tale begins, almost always with a betrayal. One is tricked into an adventure one did not want to take, but it's going to turn out to be good for everybody in the end, but almost always accompanied by a wise pony or a wise animal. And when they get to impossible things, the burning river, the glass mountain, the pony says to each one of us, let go of control so power can come in. This is the Pluto theme. Let my reins be slack, and you hold on tight because I know how to do this, right? So it's a quality of us that resides within us. You know, it's our Mars, our wise animal, our instinct, the energy we run on metaphorically and literally. May it be good for all beings. You know, and we say, right, this quality of intelligence that knows what to do when the mind does not. Especially useful now. I like saying to myself and others, mind is a wonderful thing. It's temporarily of no use at all in the circumstance that we want these other qualities of intelligence. And I love storyteller Gioia Tempinelli, traditional storytelling opening in Sicily. It says, there are five ways of traveling: walking, crawling, swimming, flying, and how we travel now. Woohoo! Woohoo! So off we go. So it is time for Bodhisattva Coyote creation myth that Stella Coyote and I came up with. It says, long before there were humans, there was liberating trickster who sets the whole shebang going with a sizzle of lightning. And this sizzle of liberating lightning goes through all the flora and fauna, and every now and then it gets orthodoxed or inquisitioned. These are important themes, or imprisoned or whatever. So it becomes an incredibly great escape artist, an escapade artist. And it moves through all of nature and into each one of our hearts right now. We know how to do this. You know, and, you know, it is, coyotes have been seen watching trappers lay traps, following along behind them. Thum, 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 thum. And the trappers move on, and the coyotes, you know, dig up the traps, spring the traps with a stick as a community service, and then for attitudinal, artful form, they pee all over them. Right, right. So this is part of our skill set, team. You know, we watch the traps, we follow along behind. You know, it's as Gene Hackman in Enemy of the State, an evergreen movie, says, you know, their strengths are their weaknesses. Our weaknesses are our strengths, right? They are large and lumbering. So like coyote, we follow along, we dig up the trap, we spring it, we pee all over it. So it says we all then, you know, under your seats in an invisible form, are everybody's magic backpack with everything that we need, a bag of liberating lightning, you know, that we can hurl at any closed circle and liberate it into a spiral. That's part of that dynamic. So we also say truth is an escapade artist. And we really want to, you know, how we animate things. We've gathered to reassume responsibility for dreaming the world into being. As Rev Ike says, because we draw from all sources, right? If we can dream it up, we can dream it down, right, and dissolve it. So music, our wonderful musical allies, music and metaphor are the incarnational garb whereby power enters the world. And we know throughout time, the cave paintings, you know, the death and resurrection show, that humans would gather and each one in their hearts would invite power in, right? We don't source it, and then offer a desirable story to animate. So Venus magnetizes through art and beauty, you know, and then Mars animates what Venus magnetizes, and together they spiral things forth into the memosphere, and that's what we will do too. I went to a pretty good, you know, it's like neuroscience and science are finally proving magic. So bless their little whippersnapper hearts. Yeah, because it was some years back that neuroscience proudly proclaimed, we have discovered that people remember things better when they're in stories. And it's like, that's so cute of you. But it was a presentation at the Kennedy Center in D.C., where I'm still your agent. You know, and it was Francis Collins from NIH, who was pretty good, and he had, you know, music and musicians, but also, you know, images of the brain. And he said, when we hear music, beautiful music, that gives us goosebumps, our body releases a cascade of dopamine, right, and probably other many things, and the brain lights up. And they also put a singer in an MRI and said, sing, and let's see what parts of your brain light up. Whoa. And then just for the imaginative fun of it, they said, now don't sing, just imagine singing. And the brain lit up much more. And we go, intriguing, very intriguing. But they also had a film that they showed of somebody with advanced Parkinson's, which is a dopamine, deprivation issue. And a person could barely walk and hardly open the door and walk and turn around. And then all they added was a metronome, thump, thump, thump. And the person was coherent, could walk, open the door, turn around. We go, oh. So we have, the astrological language says Neptune, pretty much overhead, dreams, is the intelligence of dreams, vision, imagination, reverie, entheogens, fairy tales, all of that realm. And it is right now, just for the fun of it, because we're throwing a little attention towards, things even like the midterm elections and the U.S. chart, that the soul of this country, and not just this country, because anything that's anywhere is everywhere, rise up in each heart. We are here as blessings, and so trance, it's how a culture tells itself its own story. So Neptune's in its home realm of Pisces now that says, all the powerful myths and stories that ever were or will be and music are here now. All the myths are rooting for us. There's a cluster in the invisible, which is part of what entheogens kind of open up to us, going, ooh, it's not just us. Ooh. We remember, that in the Mabinogian, stories collected 10th century, but earlier, there comes a moment where the elders get together and they go, oh, the guys just found out they have something to do with children, and things were going so well before that. But we can see what's going to happen, which is that women soon will be property, and we can see this thing in which humans will travel on their individual path until they lose kinship not only with each other but with nature herself, until the earth might die. And then at that point, some people will keep all the value of their individual journey but join once again in the big participatory realm of woo, right? So Neptune and Pisces, the way I think of it is all the creatures on this planet are meeting backstage now going, what are we going to do about the humans? We've got to either kill them or heal them. Let's do both. Let's make everything that has ever moved humans to conscious kinship, anything that has ever moved humans to rejoin the choreography of creation, available for fresh expression, beautiful old songs. So for each of us, by our affinity, our inward dedication magnetizes outward opportunity. We are each given the opportunity to bring something beautiful alive that is needed now, this animistic kinship. So I'm very big on animism. The things that I've carried with me for so long, Lakota Elder saying we didn't hunt alone, those gifted at trance and reverie could go backstage and broker a deal with wolves and coyotes and we would all hunt together for a season. And if you want to destroy a culture, destroy that capacity through reverie and trance to negotiate across species lines for collective well-being. And so we want to bring that back. And then it's also a wonderful friend who said, the modern concept of worship is so silly. You are great. I am nothing. Now give me this thing. And she said, in hunter-gatherer society and throughout the Mediterranean, there was great reverence and mystery and respect between the backstage, invisible, and the onstage. But the backstage but she said it was a much more collaborative relationship. The invisible backstage eagerly seeks invitation to enter on incarnational reality. And we go, now would be really a great thing. So again, it's our responsibility and our opportunity, to invite in. And even if we don't know what that is, come on in, whatever it is that is needed that will quicken the hearts, again, of humans in a compassionate way, that whereby we can dream the world back into being. I do think that entheogens play a huge literal and metaphoric part. Yes, woo-hoo, woo, people, there's actually birds in the audience, that's good too. Entheogens, many people here, I think it's part of nature helping us out. It's not that everyone has to do this, but it does open these realms, like, whoa, and it opens portals. And that's why I was so delighted also to work with these particular musicians, because there was one entheo journey in which I had been replaying the great soundtrack, Baba Aziz, The Prince Who Contemplated His Soul. Again, this music that is so full of yearning, and with a friend, and I could just feel the portals opening up again, this idea of, you know, kinship and going out to all the children and parents, you know, who had been separated, going, you know, we are all in this embrace. We are all in this embrace. It's also, I think, entheogenic practice, you know, once in the rainforest of Mexico with the likes of Terence McKenna and Jonathan Ott and other growers and whatever. And at one point it was basically a who brought what circumstance, so it can never exactly be repeated because it, there were mushrooms and what, and then you take a swig of water and go, whoa, what was that? MMDA, okay. But it was one of those moments where we know that entheogens actually increase actual magic. You know, again, increase our capacity for it. And I was in a clearing, and, you know, and there was up in the jungle, there was this wild wind, and everybody could see it. It was real, right? It was like, woo. And I knew, I talked to my shoes, and I go, shoes, the wind god is coming to dance with me. And they're like, okay. And it did. It came down into the clearing, and it twirled me around. And I'm like, that was fantastic. That's the best date, like, ever. But it was a real thing, and we're going for that, you know. And we also music and beauty as ways of opening that. So part of the generosity of what is being bestowed on us hapless rogue species, you know, is right now it says the protoplasm of reality is especially receptive to imaginative imprint, right? By again beauty and music and all of that. And also strategic cultural advantage goes to those cultivating intimacy with the power of symbols and stories. And I do love, a friend reminded me of my quoting Lewis Hyde, who says, coyote is lucky if enough con men show up to school her or him. And we go, we are so lucky. We are so lucky. I have not often used before now the word evil, because we want to spiral out of polarity, you know, and I like Neil Douglas Cott's reminding us that the Aramaic is the language that Jesus would have spoken, and what gets translated to us as evil in Aramaic means unripe. And that leaves room for our metaphoric agility, because what do we do with unripe things? We put them in a brown paper bag. So I think it's useful to imagine a giant brown paper bag over Congress, right, and a brown paper bag over Saudi Arabia, a brown paper bag over Trumpelstiltskin, all those things. But it is, you know, and this is an entheogenic, you know, interesting mystery as well, because so evil, corruption, inquisition, the model of possession. Okay, now we're back into Neptune dreams vision, the collective group mind, what I like to call the memosphere. So we know that, you know, I'm appreciative of Gary Lachman's work, hosted him on radio, his book, A Dark Star Rising, Magic and Power in the Era of Trump. And he's a very dedicated, serious, prolific, a history of consciousness kind of guy, an esoterica. And he basically says, you know, Trump is a, you know, mobster cipher. We don't have an administration. We have a crime mob. But the Bannons, right, are trained esotericists in the power of symbol and story, in a dark way. He calls them chaos magicians because they thrive on conflict and heat, complete contempt for truth, complete contempt for that which they deem weak. You know, which includes nature, and again, heat feeds them. This is our conundrum. But we know that the Dementors, because I've told everybody, you know, I was at the Republican convention and one-on-one, pretty good. But then it was kind of like Shirley Jackson's The Lottery. It was kind of mob mind, and the worst was being invited. And mob mind, I think, is useful. And I think, without getting freaked out, the model of possession is a very useful metaphor to understand in our ingenious adaptability to that as a strategy. Because if the worst is being invited, and mob mind means it's available, and we go psychic, psychotic, pressure comes down and erupts through the thinnest membranes of our living team, like, and we're seeing, you know, a lot of violence in that way, and white people psychosis in that way, white people psychosis trending, I go, oh, easy, crazy white people. But I think possession is useful. You know, and Terry Pratchett, in his wonderful book, I Shall Wear Midnight, where the young girl witch, Tiffany Aiken, must dissolve the power of the cunning man who has created mob mind. So even, you know, in that book or in our lives, when we go, I don't know what got into me. I don't know why I said that mean thing. I don't know. And it goes, ooh, it was there, right? So then it behooves us as agents of cultural liberation to invite the best. You know, and as Dion Fortune said, the purpose of ritual magic is to spiral into group mind, expanded wisdom and tolerance available for download. Especially here we are safe. You know, again, responsibility, opportunity, you know, to spiral, you know, expanded repertoire of responses available to everybody and people who are in much hotter and more difficult circumstances than we are right now at this moment. But it's also, you know, demons. What do demons want? I view Trump as possessed. And I think you can see when the demon gets bored and leaves him going, even I'm bored. And it's like, and then it reanimates him. And we go, you know, and so in keeping with the jinn thing, going, aren't you bored, demon? Wouldn't you like to be liberated too? You know, it's like, oh, let me think about it. Okay. But we go, you know, let's just see all the demons, you know, again. Because this theme of evil and redemption is very important. Remember, Milarepa, the greatest saint in all of Tibetan Buddhism, was a murderer, you know, and a highway thug. And it behooves us now also to be welcoming anybody who's gone to the underworld and maybe done terrible things but is willing to come back. We need the awakened imagination of everybody. You know, we talk to NSA whistleblowers who are like, I was there for 40 years and did terrible things, but now, you know, we go, welcome aboard. So we, whatever we speak to in another is the part of them we're inviting to dance with the corresponding part of ourselves, right? So this is a, you know, there's a Ho'oponopono inward-outward kind of dynamic that's crucial to now. And so that takes us to the resonance. Everything's a mystery play. And the backstage gods are like, we're trying to make it really simple for the humans, like Kavanaugh bin Salman, right? and it was convenient of Trump to say, why, you know, Prince Mohammed bin Salman is no more guilty than Kavanaugh. And we go, exactly. Because it's so resonant, this inquisition, this remnants of inquisition, and how do we metabolize that without feeding the dementors? So we again have, and then that's why we want to bring in the wrathful Dakinis, right? Let's say that all mythic figures are metaphoric animations of intrinsic intelligence in nature. And so the wrathful Dakinis, how many people have heard of the wrathful Dakinis? That's right. Well, they've heard about all of you. They represent that in nature which metabolizes poison. Right, and they were originally Tibetan Buddhism made them kind of pretty, right? But they're a little bit of the Inquisition of Orthodoxy, but they're not pretty. They're beautiful, and they were originally depicted as part woman, part animal. And they metabolize the poison of anger into the tonic of wrath, fierce protection of all beings. And they metabolize the poison of seduction into the tonic of magnetism, bring everything alive. Right, so. We do have Kavanaugh bin Salman, and Salman has been called a bully who lectures without listening, and we have this everywhere in the world, this dangerous thing, Italy, Hungary, Philippines, North Korea, Brazil, Saudi Arabia. There is a cold, dangerous wind blowing, and also we send wishes to the hearts of all people in Brazil. Don't do it. Don't do it. Bolsonaro, again, is the Trump-like racist 27 years of, you know, stirring hatred. And it's just, again, these things are literal and horrifically symbolic. So just the other day was the murder of Mestre Moa de Catende, a capoeira master, an advocate for Afro-Brazilian. You know, a beautiful, beautiful human, a living treasure globally. A Bolsonaro zealot, you know, entered the bar and got into a heated, feeds the dementor, you know, heated, Bolsonaro is what we need. He's like Trump, you know. And Moa was conversing about the long journey of you know, Afro-Brazilians and the richness of the culture, and the man left and then came back and stabbed him to death. And Bolsonaro, who's again, strong man, who goes, you know, no crime. Oh, but that's okay. Right, and on WhatsApp there's horrific pictures of this beautiful, beautiful man. We're looking at evil. And when I was talking to a man recently who runs an NGO in Colombia. He's Colombian, you know, and said so many people kind of impose their ideas of what medicine people should be and the whole ayahuasca complexity. But I was saying so-and-so might want to do it. He said, ayahuasca is good for everyone. And he said he'd done 300 journeys. And then we were talking about evil. And he goes, I've seen evil. And I go, okay. Was it on an ayahuasca journey? And he's like, absolutely. Ayahuasca shows you evil. And I go, well, this is an interesting conversation that, you know, I'll just bring out a little bit of that I want to keep going forever in a way. Because my experience also on ayahuasca journey was absolutely evil. I was inside people being possessed by evil and doing terrible things. And it was like, whew, it's like, I know how this can happen. You know, and around the frame was, you know, people doing shootings and people stabbing people in Montreal or whatever. And the ayahuasca took me inside about how that happens. And it was like, it was not a really like, other people in my group were like, I met Mother Ayahuasca and she said I was cute and I could move to the jungle and I'm her favorite guy. And I'm like, and all I got was evil. Okay. You must be an amateur. But it's intriguing, you know, and so all of it is fractal, right? It's all resonating because the Kavanaugh dynamic, and here's where we bring in, you know, the cooperators are standing by. There's a lot of help. So when Susan Collins gave her brown nose obedience to inquisitional tyranny talk, however, okay, that's why it's not just what it looks like, or, I mean, that is, she's a dingbat for sure. But but at that very moment, Venus, the power of magnetism, was stationing in Scorpio, not to be messed with wrathful Dakini sorcery, at the very moment that Susan Collins began to speak. And then Venus retrograded and goes on her journey to the underworld, which is what she's doing now, because the Inanna myth is the Venus astronomical cycle. And part of me, again, you know, what heartens us, I could feel Venus and Scorpio going, I got this. You know, I'm going to be conducting the investigation on Kavanaugh. It's ongoing. I'm going to be conducting the investigation on Khashoggi was later, but all of that, and we go Venus into the underworld there. But then that Sunday, you know, I just felt so angry. You know, and that's not a default setting either. It was like, oof. You know, there's a huge collective dredging up like, of the Inquisition, like, oh, and just everything. And I didn't want to do anything that was good for me. You know, it was like, you know, take the dogs out for a walk. No. You know, go have dinner with friends. No. And this dredging up. And the entheogenic experience, the reason I referenced that several miles back, is that I think now is kind of like that, because on that particular journey, and sometimes it happens, you know, when there's a strong dose coming on, it dredges up. It's like, whoa, it dredges up dread. It's like, whoa, it's into, ah. And I think that's where we are collectively right now. It's like, whoa. And so on that Sunday, I was like, whoa. And then only later did I notice the beautiful guiding astrological story that Pluto, death, rebirth, intensity, was stationing that day. And it went direct at 10 p.m. And there are things that I didn't want to do. And blah, blah, blah. But I started, and I could feel the anger turning into desire. Sometimes we get a free ride. I mean, it really wasn't, it was like, oh, it's happening. This alchemy is happening. I was possessed by anger, like, and then it changed, right? It's available. So this fractal, though, because it's so resonant, you know, of Kavanaugh with the hand over the mouth, I mean, of Christine Blasey Ford, you know, and then, you know, that is his judicial policy. It's incredibly relevant. And then the hand over her mouth, you know, and her saying so powerfully and authentically, you know, what is the thing that stayed with you, and she goes, well, in the hippocampus and the thing. You know, it was the fact that they were laughing at my expense, right? And then Trump then did that, right? You know, and it's all related also to Khashoggi. Again, his last column, okay, Venus retrograded, and when Venus transited Khashoggi's Jupiter, Neptune, and Scorpio, the mystery, you know, it's when Khashoggi's last column after his death was published about freedom, about the gag off, about an Arab, you know, news about democracy in Arabia, and we go, ah. So these chaos magicians, again, so it behooves all of us and good-hearted people to reassume the powers of story and metaphor, so we don't leave it by default. And as we go into these beautiful patterns, they're available to everybody, and we want to animate them in a desirable way that is good for everybody, lest we leave them by default, to the Dementors. Because what we're witnessing, the conversation with the Ayahuasquero about evil, and I go, evil, I tend to shy away, we don't want the polarity thing, but I said, children being separated at the border from their parents, and he said, that's evil. And we go, that is evil. And the idea of monstrosity feeding on misery, we're seeing that. We're seeing monstrosity feeding on misery. And it's like, it's very strong. So it is not an administration, but a crime syndicate. But again, that's why we're going also for Trickster, against all odds. When we don't know what to do, we invite Trickster in, and it's part of our fierce blessing. Let anything we need to know to have a democracy be revealed, rendered harmless, and in the fullness of time, an occasion for mirth somewhere down there. But let's keep in mind that David Pecker, National Enquirer editor, has all of Trump's bad secrets in his safe, including all of his secret deals with Saudi Arabia in his safe, and he's now cooperating with Mueller. And we go, let it all come out, that would be good. So part of that, monsters in fairy tales, all fairy tales have monsters. And that's why, so I was saying, fascism arises in the absence of magic. And magic simply means a willingness to cooperate with everything. But that sense of kinship and wonder, and connectedness to the magic and beauty of the world and expanding the realm of what conversations are possible. But then, I go, well, just a statement doesn't do it, according to my own dictates. So then I go, if fascism arises in the absence of magic, then let magic rise, right? It's the antidote, again, this sense of kinship. So, we know all the chicanery coming down the line, this election, there's so much corruption. We know that the four Native American tribes, in South Dakota were recently, going, oh, you can't vote if you don't have a street address. They only have P.O. boxes. And we go, oh, the voter suppression in Georgia, the thing. And we go, sounds like a case for Bodhisattva Coyote to disrupt things in a positive way. And Native Americans are working on, and you get an address. And, again, against all odds, to this inquisitional hand over mouth, and we go, this assault that we see dissolving, the power of blessing is it does not have to be, realistic. And we like to say the situation's so dire we can't afford the luxury of realism. It's, again, whatever, again, here we are in the entheogenic realms, whenever people hear lies, may a circle of wolves dance around them and take them out into the woods, Whatever, again, we want to avail ourselves of our rich, imagination. And that's why this beautiful astro-mythological language says we have so many qualities of intelligence, it's time to avail ourselves of all of them. So the dead are speaking, Khashoggi is speaking. And also remember, when Berta Cáceres, a beautiful, beautiful environmental indigenous worker in Honduras, was assassinated, her and a winner of the Goldman Awards, her colleagues who loved her so much came on stage at the Goldman Awards and did this beautiful, powerful chant. Berta did not die. She multiplied, right? And so we might say that as well about Khashoggi. Khashoggi did not die, he multiplied, right? And Moa, the beautiful man in Brazil, did not die, he multiplied. So we might say that, let's say that for Berta. Berta did not die, she multiplied. Khashoggi did not die, he multiplied. Moa did not die, he multiplied. That we are no longer cringing in front of the Inquisition. And that's the kind of, dynamic. So we play with many powerful things in this time of hyper-yang death frenzy, and how do we dissolve that? And that's another thing I would say, tyranny is compensatory, we need them. There's Stormy Daniels again, game on, Tiny. and then going, all right, if tyranny is compensatory, we need them, then you know, positive yang democracy is strong enough to be gentle, or something. I give it to you to go mull on. You know, if tyranny is compensatory, we need them. Then, you know, go off and fill in the blank as well. We want to play with these things. And then, you know, we're drawing from everything. I love friends who left a message when I was frightened in front of the Pluto force of the IRS, and they left a message going, "Don't you be sad and blue. You have witches looking out for you." And it's like, oh, that was so useful. Yeah, because I'd put anti-vampire oil on all the doors because they were coming to my house and everything, you know. But they were we couldn't, you know. There is evil, but the servants of evil you can negotiate with, you know. And they were so thrilled, these IRS agents, that I guessed their signs, and I'm not really good at that. A Taurus and a Virgo, very detailed. But this idea of reciprocal blessing, and we knew each other for about a year, and they agreed that what they were doing was silly, and they were so excited to be auditing an astrologer. But they said that what they really wanted to do was to audit real big corporate criminals, right? And so we did a little reciprocal blessing, you know, and it worked out really well. And then they called me up afterwards going, "That was great, and now we're being assigned to San Diego to track corporate criminals. Thank you. You liberated us, right?" So let everything be an opportunity for reciprocal blessing and liberating, just as a default setting, you know, as part of that dynamic. So, you know, and then just for the fun of it, we go, and let tyranny be terrified. and let tyranny be terrified and sentenced to a studio apartment in Moscow. There you go. Run off a little scam. Also, this part of, again, our beautiful musicians, you know, I so love the music to which they're dedicated, and on the Entheo journey going, this music does open up portals, and that sense of, you know, grief expressed through art becomes powerful and inclusive. it's the quality of that, you know, that opens up our extended embrace of every child and parent. We will not forget you. You know, and in fairy tales, you know, when something horrific is happening, the hero or heroine realizes that humans aren't enough, and they go to all the creatures and the animals going, can you help us find the children? Can you help us find the children? And we turn to everything, including, you know, Stamets' great story about slime mold, right? How slime mold redesigned the Tokyo subway, because they're very good at tracking. And we go, oh, crows, oh, slime mold, oh, everything, help us to reunite the children. You know, and that beautiful music, you know, again, feels us, we're wafting out our embrace. We're all in this dream together. There is no cruelty or joy or happiness that we don't all experience in this Neptunian realm. The grief, you know, of Panama City and so much being destroyed with such little Saturn responsible infrastructure. And so it behooves all of us as well to think that government is also our dream, and that we've outsourced leadership and authority to sociopathic dingbats, and no other species on this planet would do that. I mean, really, think about it. There is no Trump wolf, right? There is no, I mean, they're like, what are you thinking about? You know, I mean, there's no species that would outsource leadership to someone that did not care about the well-being of the pack, you know? So, again, you know, for that model, these important conversations that we have every opportunity, public and private, and standing in line about what should government be, right? What is, it's our Saturn, it's our structure, it's our collective well-being, you know, to protect the commonwealth, you know, for all creatures, for all beings, right, to start this conversation. And even, you know, talking across borders to, you know, Trump supporters in Cleveland and stuff, but they had dogs, you know, I go, well, here's one something we agree about. We want a wonderful life for all dogs. And he's like, you got that right. Anyway, so we can we build on what we can, you know, and it's also, you know, conversation with deep conservatives, the educated deep ones who are appalled as well, you know, who say, well, what do you know about Edmund Burke? Oh, not much. But Edmund Burke, you know, this conversation about small government, big government is irrelevant, they said. Because Edmund Burke said, the more we cultivate inner qualities of good citizenship, the fewer outer rules we need. And I go, this is a worthy conversation. You know, we can bypass all these labels. Remember, we want to throw everything into the cauldron, all tired language, all divisive language. You know, all of that. There's no prison for the unexpected. You know, that we all be agents of liberating in our conversation as well. You know, and if something's, you know, if we goes into a toxic realm of conversation, you go, what animal do you think you might be? And they're like, a chipmunk. Disrupt the thing. Lightning, little bits of lightning into the thing to disrupt the thing. So, because there is no prison for the unexpected. It requires that we not, you know, say something in a snarky tone, you know, that, and that brings us also to part of our skill set and how wonderful that we are all gathered here and everyone listening, good-hearted people, increasingly influential, may it be so, you know, but language is part of our great technology of intimacy and part of our great magician conjuring. So, you know, I don't want to be language police. I just, you know, and I don't want people to necessarily use my words, but to liberate everybody's access. The more words we have, the more intimacy. The more stories, the more intimacy. The more songs, the more intimacy. You know, so, you know, a friend had said, you know, the word symbolic, sim means together and ball is throw. And he said, either we have a symbolic understanding of the world or the world is diabolic, right? That being able to read it symbolically so that we know what forces are in play so we ourselves can metaphorically shapeshift and adopt to be influential rather than just practitioners of tantrum yoga. So, you know, it's again, you know, I gave money to, you know, Heidi Hamkamp, symbolic amounts, Heidi Hamkamp, because that's important. We want that Senate thing, you know, and Beto O'Rourke, and, you know, so my inbox, of course, is flooded with every candidate going, what is that? We've become of necessity ruthless. So anything that comes in that is like, oh, we're going to lose and it's terrible, I mean, like, you have no language craft, delete. Because fear-based is not really great. People think it works, but I would like fear-based, you know, into the cauldron, you know. So, You know, and also people go, how long will we have war? And I go, as long as we keep using war metaphors. And just, you know, we're going to wage this thing, you know, whatever. And that is also just part of my wanting to throw to throw things into the cauldron. Is not to kill them, it's to give them a rest. The word vulnerable is a battle term. It's from war. It means woundable. So a friend was recently saying, oh, I found the vulnerable parts of my friend, and I showed him the vulnerable parts of myself. And I go, well, I don't know if that's really a great relationship. And love makes you vulnerable. I go, no, obsession makes you vulnerable. Love is really good for everybody. But the woundable, and he's like, well, it means, vulnerable means, you know, ability to touch. And I go, no, my handy etymological dictionary, it means the capacity to wound, right? And he goes, well, what would you suggest? And I go, well, it's not the equivalent, but we want to just have a fountain of possibilities. And I go, well, how about we substitute the phrase where we might use the word vulnerable to say available. I found the available parts of myself and I revealed the available parts of myself, because we're all moving our emotional default setting to woof woof want to play, right? And if somebody doesn't, you know, that's okay. Because if we get harumphy about somebody not wanting to play, it wasn't really an offering, right? Is our manner of relating an offering serves renaissance of ingenuity, or an imposition serves tyranny, no matter what label we stick on our butts, right? And so this idea of teasing, you know, that our language, our story, and our metaphors be in accord with our dedicated hearts, and our manner of relating as well. Ally etiquette is really crucial, again, among good-hearted people, and that's why Yornis, a great, great trickster, its last ideas associated with it are democracy, equality, synchronicity. And it became very clear from that, because at first I was like, what? That when we treat each other as equals, straight across, it doesn't mean being nice, because nice comes from nescient, which means ignorant, but it means spicy and respectful, and respect means to look at again, spect. Thank you, Aretha. Keep looking, keep looking, keep looking until you find something that you can respect. You know, keep. You know, and the sneaky forms. See, I think language is one of the sneaky ways in which colonialism wends its way sneakily into us. You know, I think the war metaphors. I think the use of the word vulnerable. I even find, Yornis Trickster says to all of us, we are big gods. We don't really care what you humans do. We care the manner in which you do it, that it come from freedom and choice. So we can use the word. We're going to fight. You know, but when we use the word fight. You know, our brains are symbolic, and they cascade this adrenaline. You know, so we can say we're going to fight climate change, but it's very hot. You know, in an already too hot world. You know, it's like we're going to engage humans to humbly cooperate with nature's guiding genius. I know it's a little long, right? but it's more of a Venusian thing. You know, It's like, okay, we had the power fist. That's really good. Rah, 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 rah. But in keeping with the muti I still have left over here, you know, we take the power fist, rah, 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 Mars, into the Venusian, wah, may it go well for you. Again, everything wants to be cooked. You know, Mars needs to lead to follow Venus. You know, Mars's job within all of us, regardless of temporary age, race, and gender assignment, is to follow Venus. So it's like, that's good, woof, anger, right, into tch, well-being. So that's, you know, part of that dynamic. And everything also, may it be everything into the cauldron. You know, everything, all teachings, all everything into the cauldron going, does it guide people to their own autonomy? We don't want any priesthoods anymore, no orthodoxies, no priesthoods, because we are heretics, right? And remember, the word heretic was a term of praise and honor in almost all early forms of spirituality, including Christianity. They go, boy, that fill in your name sure is a great heretic, because it means free thinker. Only later, when the liberating teachings are kidnapped into slavery to support the state, is, you know, an orthodoxy. Ortho means straight. Dox is teaching. We like our teachings curvy. Thank you very much. Was heretic get you killed? Again, part of the Inquisition. And I think vulnerable, I'd like to give the word vulnerable a rest. Just to set in motion all of us so that we are crafty. The word craft means power from dedication. So that we're crafty about our words. You know, it's why when people go, this is, or, you know, and this is part of our fierce blessing is the daughter of ally etiquette. So we give critique, and I like to say critique without blessing is complicitous with dominance. And then I would say to myself, where's your blessing, Caroline? Because that's also a sneaky thing, too. That's why we all want friends. You know, it's like we don't want to be grumpy about somebody being grumpy or condescending about somebody being condescending. So we're all playing and working on this. But the word condescension means we all go down together, right? So, and it's very much like I know and you don't and do whatever. And it's like not democratic, not conducive to a dynamic, magnetizing, irresistible, all-inclusive story of, you know, come on over, that we be inviters to the Renaissance. Come on over, you know, and did you know about this beautiful thing and the work of Janine Benyus and how we can redesign the front of the Japanese bullet train to be like a kingfisher entering water? And it's like, whoa, people love that, you know. Again, to speak to the innocent dignity of the child heart somewhere within all of us, some people tougher than other, we move on. And it's also, you know, the way we, you know, with entheogens or anything, how do we then, complicitous with the Inquisition and colonialism, fend off wonder, you know, in some way? What are the many forms in which prison masquerades as freedom? I went to a free dance the other night going with a little microdose going, I'm up for dancing. And when I walked in, the music was so obedience music. It was like, dum, 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 dum. And there was a friend sitting in the corner. I go, what is this music? And she goes, I call it stupid music. And she goes, they think it's trance music. And I go, it was like, dum, dum. Complex rhythms, yearning. Again, you know, complex rhythms, complex thinking, complex intimacy. You know, again, prison masquerading as freedom. And people were like, oh, you're dancing like white people. And we go, that's a prison. You know, it's you know, even the term, you know, even the term ego, you know, it's like very earnest young people from Whidbey Island came up to me when I was at Cortez, you know, around the fire, and they were like, oh, we are advanced young people, you know, oh, Caroline, what is ego? And I'm like, who asked? Right. I felt pretty good about that. Okay. You know, and then I got to go because it wasn't a conversation I wanted to get. You know, it was like that was the interesting part for me. I felt pretty good about it. You know, and then again, just to wonder, like, do we really want to have an impact? Sometimes, if you're having a heart attack, maybe. You know, do we really want a short, violent encounter as opposed to a long, curvy influence? Right. You know, so there's impact investing and impact this. But these words, you know, and so that idea of throwing everything into the cauldron, we can ladle it out again. Does it guide people to their own autonomy? Is it equal Mars and Venus? Is it equal humans and the rest of our kin on this planet? Yes, we ladle it out. No, we throw it back in for another round of bubbling. That's really part of that dynamic. And words, you know, again, there's so much wordplay now, and it's so available. I love, you know, words come across. My screensaver is full of words, you know, ebullient, you know, cheerful, full of energy, 16th century. A wonderful word from, who is it? It's a Native American, but the word is pupawi, and it means the force that causes mushrooms to push up and appear. Pupawi. We go, papawi, and may your day be filled with papawi. People go, oh, you know, and also, you know, if you're talking to across borders to a conservative, that's a good thing. Papawi to you. Okay. You know, just, again, surprising. You know, diaphanous, you know, permitting the free passage of light, going, oh, wonderful. See, whatever we speak of, we're invoking in some way. An exaltation of larks. And we go, right. You know, because, see, all cultures, Americans are sort of remedial here, but have had their culture of blessing. You know, and Syria was woven together with blessing. You know, you go, may your day be filled with an exaltation of larks. And, you know, and then you would respond, it's blessing poker. You know, and may you have an exaltation of larks and a diaphanous waft of your lover kissing you on the neck. I mean, whatever, you know, you're to and fro blessing poker. It's also why, you know, we know that women cannot testify because it comes from testes. It does. It's Leviticus, and I grab by my balls and all that is sacred, and I testify. It's a testes thing that you know, but we can ovify. We are ovifying. So also, you know, for the entheogen, literally or symbolically, which is, we say anything is a tonic that increases our sense of kinship, right? And anything is a toxin that increases our sense of alienation and isolation. And so I do love Neil Douglas Klotz's taking the Aramaic of say, the Beatitudes, and saying Aramaic is this wonderfully Neptunian metaphoric language, and it loses a lot when you move it into Greek, which is more kind of ugh. And a friend of mine says the essence of Greek tragedy is, it's going to get you. It did, right? It's like, so what he says, you know, the one I always use that I find so lovely from him is, what comes to us is blessed are the meek, you know, which is used to, you know, for all kinds of justification of political and economic horror. In Aramaic, he says, would be more like, blessed are those who soften emotional rigidity within their hearts, for they shall have all the power of nature. You know? Right. You know, and just, you know, for us now, you know, to be effective agents too, just to, you know, any little kind of, you know, grumpiness about anybody, like any hardness of heart, just, you know, it's, we're calling in with the music and the metaphors and the words, you know, anything to dissolve anything between us and kinship. It doesn't mean condoning evil or up to no goodness, but it does mean not participating in it, you know. And the words cool, popularized by jazz musicians, is a Saturn word. It comes from Yoruba, from a Yoruba word, kulukulu, and which meant completely responsible. The cool guy, you know, took care of the community. The cool passage of drumming is the drummer, the drum, the divine, no overplaying, just, you know. And in Yoruba, like in English, it also means cool like temperature. And so the Yoruba say, to be a cool person, imagine your head as cool, we can do that now, and your heart as warm. Move all the heat in our heads down to our hearts. It's the opposite of road rage, right? To be hot-headed, cold-hearted, right? To be cool-headed, warm-hearted, you know, as, again, agents of cool response in a hot, reactive world. And again, see, the idea of fierce blessing, we're allowed to set in motion anything of which we would be the happy recipients. So we might say, let all those abusing power be moved to a place they can no longer harm themselves by harming others. We go, okay, yeah, if I were abusing power, would I be happy to be Dan? Absolutely, let it go. A bigger, I mean, a one to consider, and consider is a wonderful word. It means with the stars. We avert disaster, which means against the stars, disaster, by gathering as we are to consider. We don't need to believe in astrology. We just gather to consider. I was going to say something and it went away, but maybe it'll come back. Does anybody know what I was about to say? Fierce blessing. Thank you. Fierce blessings. Right. Again, you know, again, the fierce blessing, it's like, you know, Wanda Sykes said, you know, Rush Limbaugh wanted Obama to fail. She wanted Rush Limbaugh's kidneys to fail. And we go, no, we understand. But the trickster way would be, no, we would wish, you know, the kidneys of Rush Limbaugh and others to work so well that they flush all the poison out of them and leave them in a pool of befuddled innocence. Right. Right. Because, again, see, the Venusian Mars trickster dynamic is interested in liberating the entire circumstance, right? It's, again, Scheherazade is interested in liberating women and the land, but even the tyrant who has hardened his heart. Not counting on it, but willing, because you never know. You know, that great movie, Lives of Others, is really, really great. It's about how the sociopathic heart can bloom again. Not everyone, but you don't know, you know? And so it's, again, woof, woof. And it's Venus, it's art and beauty that do that, and the inclusivity about belonging, you know? And it's, again, you know, the welcoming back into the sweat lodge, even of people who've done terrible things. We do want to call in our team, you know, just imaginatively now as we get ready to spiral blessings into the world. And part of the team is a brief gaze at the midterm election thing. And with astrology, I'm always learning. So it's not what's going to happen. It's what are we going to make happen? You know, and so a brief glance at the midterm election chart gives us some guidance. Venus is going to the underworld. She's disappeared from the evening sky pretty much now. So Venus is the evening star for 9 months, which is what she has been, very beautiful, and now invisible in all cultures, Mesoamerican and also Middle Eastern. It's called Venus Going to the Underworld. And again, many layers of myth, but if we go back far enough, it's not a kidnapping or whatever. She's going to the underworld to a funeral of an old age, but she's going to the underworld to gather woof for a creative renaissance. And all cultures, both Mesoamerican and Middle Eastern, would then be very waiting for what's called the heliacal rise of Venus, when she rises as the morning star and a whole new cycle starts. And that's what happens on election day. She's back. So it's a dark of the moon election day, which is, again, available. It's an equal opportunity employer. It's where you can do... It's traditionally when people would gather to determine the course of culture, but it's also when nefarious things were done. So that's why it behooves us to gather in our imagination. And even this night, right now, I'll say it in translate, Neptune is trining the sun of the election day. So how we want to suffuse that, you know, may common sense rise up. May there be a wave of exhilarating sanity. May we resist the impulse to finger wag at people who voted for Trump and, well, come on over here to a better story. Come on over here to a better story. This is more fun. You know, more dogs over here. Come on. Because, you know, everything teaches us. I have new puppies, right, who are just adorable and fantastic. But again, and as Ursula Gwynn says, we strengthen whatever we resist. And puppies are very like that. And so if you go, no, and they go, oh, it's a game on, you know. You know, you go, hey, over here, there we go. And that's what we got to do with politicians. Hey, over here, there you go. You know, it's like in Conscious Parenting Medicine, a magazine, we derive things from everywhere. It said, you do not say to your two-year-old, oh, please put your socks on because mommy's got to get to work. It's like, no, your child has no prefrontal cortex. You know, just say, we're putting on our socks. That's what we're doing. That's what we're doing. Yeah. And politicians are like that too. They have no prefrontal cortex. We're protecting the environment. That's what we're doing. Not an argument. Here's where we're going. We're setting this swoosh thing. And the greatest place of influence for the trickster redeemer within us all is the memosphere, is the whole collective realm, you know, to create the atmosphere conducive to the desirable. And that's where ritual magic and all kinds of things and prayers in caves, as well as participating, it's all useful to invite the best, you know, in everybody and to fill the memosphere with ingenious, compassionate response in multiple ways for all beings. You know, so on election day, Venus and Ceres Demeter, dwarf planet, you know, are conjoined. And so Venus, if we got up at dawn, right before dawn on election day, it would be very, very beautiful because we would see the heliacal rise of Venus. She's returned from the underworld with carrying the essence of collaborative Renaissance culture with her. She's the same degree as Ceres Demeter, goddess of the earth, little dwarf planet. And right beneath that is the moon. And then it's right before sunrise. So you get to see Venus and the moon. And this is, you know, to all pre-industrial cultures, that would be a big deal. Because when Venus returns from the underworld, each Venus-Moon conjunction is part of her having restored to her what she'd had to give up going down. We give up the conditioned old thing, and then the new birth is having that. And usually, Venus will disappear from the sky, night sky, for 40 days. But she's not leaving us alone for that. She goes down now, and she comes back, you know, November 6th. Go, I can't leave those humans unsupervised. But there are images for each degree of the zodiac. It's a beautiful tradition of metaphors. And so Venus's image on election day is a person in deep gloom, unnoticed, a glowing circle of angels surrounds them. And I love that particular degree because when we're alone, we can all be that person in deep gloom. But when we gather, we're the glowing circle of angels, right? And so it also says to everyone, be not discouraged. You know, vote. Voting is a sacred act. And people go, oh, you know, it's like, no, anything. Ritual magic is any physical thing we do that we imbue with dedicated symbolism. And it's got power to it. You know, by the casting of this ballot, even on a not perfect candidate, may it be that sane, reverent common sense come back into the collective, by the, you know, that everyone feels a participatory citizenship, citizen trickster be born in all hearts. May we have conversations about what's important and what we would like. All of that. And we have a direct wire, you know, to that election this night, just... Good luck to you, November 6th date, people, everything, all of that. And we call in, you know, again, the living and the dead, you know, what do we need? The power of wolves, Saturn structure and Uranus wildness are in harmonious accord. Discipline and wildness on Earth as it is in heaven. Wolves and coyotes are mating as an evolutionary advantage. Wolves have a fantastic leadership model. It's the alpha wolf is the calmest, coolest wolf who initiates, who engages the playful ingenuity of the pack. What a good leadership model. This is a conversation we want to have, and may our leadership and our governance models be derived from nature as well. For everybody, and to engage these conversations, what is good leadership? That's a conversation that really wants to happen right now. You know, and also money. You know, what would you do with $1 billion? First thing, I'd build a wall. No, I don't think so. You know, what would you do? I do like, you know, my spicy friend Robert Bly, when I asked him about a particular person that he'd worked with, and, you know, and he was like, well, and he goes, he's a tyrant, but a very tiny one. And I go, oh, get him, Robert. So, you know, with Stormy Daniels, we also go, game on, tiny tyranny. So, you know, part of that dynamic. But in our team, it's a diverse team, you know, Stormy Daniels, the Parkland youth. So, again, like Stormy Daniels, very different presentation, but really gifted at spiraling out of polarity. You know, I've seen them, you know, even on liberal media where the people go, aren't you really mad about what this right-wing dingbat said about you? No, we want to concentrate on the story that unites us. And they do that great thing. They have taken, you know, what other people would call trauma and turned it into their dangerous, beautiful assignment. And that's another word I would like to throw into the cauldron just for the fun of it, that when we're tempted to use the word trauma, we replace it with the phrase, my dangerous, beautiful assignment, and that redemption lies in brewing medicine for others. And a great mystery is the oppressor is actually seeking the medicine of what he or she oppresses in some quirky way. You know, and I love Martine Prechtel saying the greatest, most powerful blessings are from those who are most oppressed. And he said that on a show, and then I got this great letter from, you know, these prisoners who listened to my show in Lompoc going, we heard what Martine said, so we did a sweat lodge and sent you blessings. I'm like, oh, that's just the best. And then one of the most wonderful things that ever, you know, one of the greatest blessings, I was in D.C. and a homeless man, very homeless, strong smell, crazy eyes, came up to me and said, are you magic? And I go, I try to be, and he shoved a handful of money in my hands and went away. And I was like, I tried to find him to like give him a 20. I was like, that was wherever you are. It was like aside from the wind god, that was like the second best date I've ever had. That was fantastic. So, blessings to that guy. So again, reciprocal blessings. May it go well for you and for you, you know. And again, it can be fierce blessing, you know. I know, this is the thing that's dangerous. Right, the fierce blessing is, may it be that all humans have an increasing empathic experience of the effect of their actions on others. And that's a big one. That means every styrofoam cup, everything, every unhappy word, you know, and we go, are we really to experience that ourselves? Sure. I mean, let's go. It's a big adventure time. And then, you know, our animal kin, you know, I go, the purpose of humans is to expand the realm of pleasure for animals. I really think that's it, because we can tickle them, and they really like that. I've seen manta rays, you know, somebody tickling this manta ray, you know, and I go, do you feed her? He's like, no, she's too excited to eat when she sees me, because I just tickle her. And I go, that's what, you know, as another person quipped, we want the D.H. Lawrence Livermore Laboratory, right? Pleasure, pleasure. You know, could science be based on pleasure rather than shock the little sea slug? Why don't you give it chocolate and an orgasm? You know, let's learn that way. You know, more Venus, less Mars, you know. So Terry Pratchett says, magic is easy. You just find the fulcrum and push, right? And so that's part of the strategy, too. It can be very powerful and gentle. Just the right word at the right time, the right thing. You know, and again, you know, the willingness to play. So we're in the realm of, you know, redemption. And that's why I like saying, you know, our dangerous, beautiful assignment. and the mystery of the oppressor is seeking medicine from those he oppresses. You know, England really needed the metaphysic of India, and it was in this conquering kind of a way. America really needs what's underneath the Middle East, the beauty of the welcoming of the stranger and the, you know, again, blessing poker and so much of that beauty and complexity. It's the Venusian foreign policy that we want. You know, the gods and the deities and the intelligence of different cultures always want to merge, but they've had, you know, been on the backs of conquistadors and colonial, you know, dingbats and war. But they prefer music and art and, again, as ways of confluencing. The Bannons have been interested as chaos magicians in destroying all the structures, and here goes the Supreme Court. But from that cauldron, what do we ladle out? Venus going to the underworld is the death of an old structure, and then her rising on election day is what do we want to ladle out? You know, from the smoldering cauldron of the Supreme Court, what does it want to be? You know, when we approach everything as alchemists, you know, what did this want to be before it became possessed or demonic, and how can we liberate that? You know, it's the old anarchist 70s philosophy that, you know, we don't finger wag, we go, cars, or the internal combustion engine, a no longer appropriate expression of a perfectly pure desire for transportation, cook it back and re-express, you know, liberate it. Pornography, a distorted expression of a perfectly pure desire for eros and exoticism, cook it back, you know, what did this want to be? So I think also part of what we can, in our mind's eye, do right now to toss corruption into the cauldron. This is a very old theme at a life-threatening bloom right now. You know, in Buddha Sutra, people would come to the Buddha and say, by what is the world polluted, Shariputra? You'd say, by corruption and greed, right? So if we throw corruption into the cauldron, what would we then ladle out? And I think the tonic of corruption is dedication to collective well-being. And that's our government and leadership template. So we are dissolving old spells, and while we're in it, you know, we might as well throw into the cauldron, you know, our addiction to having an enemy. That would be liberating to many people. Let's throw that in. And that's also, you know, for ourselves. So before our beautiful music and whatever, just as you hear this last song, and we'll come back together after it for a brief moment, but this is a song in which in one's hearts, first, you know, let's, in our mind's eye, put on our mythic garb, our syncretized, customized, you know, ingenious, compassionate, trickster, bodhisattva, coyote selves, you know, part crow, part... Because it might be, you know, what is unique to our species aside from our rude manners? And it might be our responsibility, opportunity to borrow qualities of intelligence from all the plants and animals that we share this planet with, you know, this quality of intelligence. And so just to begin this beautiful process, and the music helps, of putting on one's customized mythic garb, one's reliable, wise animal self, you know, that again, you know, and it's a good look too. As we begin to spiral blessings out into the world, team. we're going to help hand out flowers as manifest blessings. Again, the Earth's reproductive, fantastic Venus vaginas out there. So thanks so much again to our beautiful, beautiful musicians. Thank you much, Sonia, and Gary, and Brianna, and to Mud Baron for all of this beauty, you know, and for all of us doing this beautiful work that ingenious, sane reverence assume cultural narrative lead. Woof, woof, woof. Thank you all, team, and come help pass out flowers. Woof, woof, woof. And Brianna's CD came out today, right? And she'll be selling it over there. And I have cards for new course of Citizen Trickster I'll be launching and all kinds of things. And may it go well for all of us. May we be agents of reciprocal blessing. Thank you, team. Mwah.